Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pulse WV Live from the Connect Center in Scott Depot, Taze Valley area, West Virginia. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, John.
Let me look how good you look across there.
Hold on, Lord. It's too early for me to look good.
Sam's here. She thinks you're pretty.
Well, she might be the only one this early.
You think so?
Maybe.
How's the coffee?
The coffee is good, nice and strong, hot the way I like it.
Absolutely.
You know, all these people, I have all these people I give a hard time because they drink this pumpkin spice coffee and you know, this, you know, caramel macchiata hoochie coo kind of coffee. I don't even know how to say it. But I'm just a straight coffee, a little bit of cream guy. I don't need all the extra.
I like all the extra.
That's
just kind of me. Yeah.
That's all right.
I like the cream and sugar. I like cream and sugar. I drink it like how my mom used to drink it. And,
okay.
Like more cream than anything.
Gotcha.
Because you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. I just like a sprinkle of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've already had church here this morning, and it's been good stuff already.
Probably should have recorded that.
We probably could have. We could have gone to breakfast.
Yeah.
Not had to worry about the show today. No doubt about it. I guess we're broadcasting, aren't we?
I don't know. You have the thing.
I think we are. Let's see here. I'm pretty sure that we are. Yeah, there's people watching.
All right.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, Connie. And thank you all for being a part of the Pulse WV Live this morning. And so what's going on with you?
Well, we are continuing our series on the still small voice and how important hearing from God is to us, not only as individuals, but as a church today. If you remember last week, we talked about the first two series in that and how important it was for us to, you know, be still, know that He's God, and you know, when we come into His presence, not be willing to say everything to Him, but be willing to listen to everything He has to say.
That's really good.
And then we follow that up with the need of the Holy Spirit and how important it is for the Holy Spirit to move in our life and to become that dominant role in our life that guides our conscience and guides our decision making, because that's where the leadership of God comes through. And if we never consummate our Christianity with the Holy Spirit, then we will struggle understanding, you know, we will struggle in the flesh understanding the spiritual direction that God has for our life.
Well, you're exactly right. What do you think that how do you think the response overall of people learning that? Is it a learning curve?
No, I think it's mixed. I think you know how it is when you try to gauge a congregation's response, but I have several conversations, you know, throughout the week, which I love. I love people are thinking about it, and
right.
So they either make Facebook comments themselves or they reach out to me on text or whatever and say, hey, I was thinking about what you said. And you know how it is when you preach. You say a whole lot of things,
right?
And you've got your outline memorized, but you don't have everything else memorized. And so you're kind of like, oh, I did say that, didn't I? Which is good, because that means God's saying it and you're not. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I think the response has been really good. I've had some really good conversations with people who, you know, who you can tell are really trying to work on it and apply it.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Jay is takes care of the Winfield campus of the Pulse. I'm in Gassaway, and we want you to go over, if you could, and share this study this morning on the Pulse WV Live. And also, don't forget that this is on Spotify as well as Google Play and Apple podcast. Jay, do you know that we're reaching people in South Africa?
That's crazy.
Do you know that we're reaching people in? We had somebody from Nevada watching the Pulse WV Live the other night.
Well, I had people from Colorado,
wow,
Florida, and it was someplace really obscure.
Bancroft.
Not Bancroft. There's good people in Bancroft.
I know there are.
Bob Barnett lives in Bancroft.
Well, Bob Barnett's one of the
finest. I love Bob to death. Yeah,
you don't ever want to make him mad. He's an audio video
dude.
Yeah,
I'm throwing love at him, and he's probably not even listening to us. But I can't remember now off my head. But I remember when it came through, I was just like, wow, how do we reach that?
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think God is really. I know we're going to get into the third message here in a minute, but I think it's really awesome how God, when we choose to take what He's given us and place it into his hands.
Yes.
Without want or need of self, then he takes it. He takes it to levels that you've never really thought of, and that's kind of that takes us back to the whole idea of listening to the still small voice, because right. So often we try to dictate to God, yeah. As you and I were talking before we went on the air, we try to dictate to God, this is how I want you to do it,
right.
And he's kind of like, no, I just want you to stand on my promises,
right?
I've already got how to do it figured out,
yeah,
and that's where listening comes in.
Do you know that one of the things that I've thought about, you know, it's been 2 years since I've left banking. And
that's hard to believe.
I know it is. And being somewhat booted out of the bank like I was, and then you think about, okay, you know, what in the world happened here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as you think through the process of this, you think, okay, God, is obviously we know it's his will, or I would have went back in banking,
right?
You know, but I heard Steve Harvey say one time that and I like a lot of his stuff because mm-hmm. he's pretty funny and
very wise man.
Yeah, but here's what he said. He said, sometimes God will boot you out of where you are to get you where you're going.
Yeah.
And would I have ever thought that 2 years later, here we are in full-time ministry and sitting across from you doing a talk show. And
that's hard to believe.
Well, yeah. But, you know, here's what we were thinking, though. And I said this yesterday. Everything that we've gone through in life, you know, from my years of radio,
mm-hmm.
what you've done, marketing, all these kind of things, has been experienced for this place right now where we are.
Yeah.
And so God certainly knows what mm-hmm. he's doing, and he knows that overall picture. So I agree 100% with you and what you're teaching with the still small voice. It's like, who do we think we are?
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's how we treat God today. And you know, I give people a hard time all the time because, you know, we're in that just do you culture or generation. And I'm like, No, that is not at all
right.
How this is supposed to work. It's not about doing you. It's about, you know, it's about putting on the full clothing of Jesus Christ and doing him, becoming like him, and allowing that to change not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. So, you know, I'm constantly preaching against that tide, if you will, of this do you, because I think we become so self-centered, even in our relationship with Christ, that we begin to think it's about us. And in my opinion, that's the beginning of failure of our Christianity.
Yeah. I've been there before.
Yeah, I have too.
Yeah,
I have
too. And you know what happens.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't end well.
It does not. We go right ahead, brother.
So this week was our third installment of the Still Small Voice series. And in doing that, this was originally supposed to be like the fifth message of the sixth. And so many things were happening and going on, and God just kept taking me to the verses for this, because I already had the series fully outlined and everything else a couple months ago, and God just kept taking me back here with everything that was going on, and so I leapfrogged the next two messages and made it as the third message, because I felt that's how God was leading. But what we really wanted to talk about was we wanted to talk about standing on God's promises and allowing God to do his work in our life. Well, how does that work? Well, let me start with scripture, and here's what the word says. I got to find the right line here.
Where are you at?
Huh?
Where are you at?
No, I'm fine. It's my glasses.
Where are you at in the Bible?
Oh, in James.
Oh, James.
James chapter 1, starting at verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Again, you know, scripture telling us to put ourselves out of the way, all of the things in the flesh that fill us up, this whole do you idea, move that aside, because these things destroy us and tear us down and ultimately move us to where we're focused on God. But be doers of the word, yes, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, listen to this, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man he was. Wow. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Wow. So that's good.
I mean, with a whole lot of push, God is telling us through James here, and understand, James has lived this.
Yes.
You know, this isn't James just sitting in a seat with a whole lot of book learning thinking, oh, I'm so smart, let me say these things. No, James, as a disciple and then an apostle and everything else, has lived this out in his life and has began working to a place to where he has seen the fruits of this. And probably, you know, I don't want to put on anything that we're not, but much like us, probably did it wrong some too.
Sure.
And realized, oh, okay, this isn't the way to do it.
Right.
And so he's come to this realization, and so now he's teaching and exhorting, look, that's not the way to do it.
Right.
The way to do it is to hear from God and do what he says. Do right. the work, and that and the Bible says, do the work and you will be blessed. And the important part for that is, if you look at that in reverse, how do I get blessed? How am I blessed in serving God? How am I blessed in being a Christian? Okay, you're blessed by first hearing and then doing.
That's good.
So at the point we stop doing, what do we lose? We lose the blessings. When we come to a place that we stop doing what we should be hearing from that still small voice, and we might hear it, okay, God, cool, got ya. You know, we're that man in the mirror looking at God, aligning everything, making it look good, making it look perfect. But then we get out there on our own. Mm-hmm. We forget these things, and as Scripture says, we forget who it is we are in God, and we start becoming this fleshly creature who's not pursuing God, not doing the work of God, and in turn we lose the blessing.
And that goes along. And here's what's amazing is you and I, we don't talk and line up messages together. You no. preach something, I preach something. We've just always done it. But what's amazing is what I've been on with Deuteronomy 28, mm-hmm. that I just read to you just a little bit ago, as we were preaching to one another before this whole thing started.
Probably better than we're doing now. Or better than I'm doing.
No, you got coffee in you now. You're good.
I do.
But listen to this. In Deuteronomy 28 and verses 2, it says this, and all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken the voice of the Lord thy God.
Yes.
Diligently seeking mm-hmm. him is where the blessings are.
Yeah. Well, and doing, seeking, right? Seeking is part of listening.
Absolutely.
Seeking and then doing. Because if we can hear all day long, mm-hmm. and I kind of said it to the church this way on Sunday, that it's one thing for us to hear the voice, right?
Right.
To bring ourselves into a spiritual place and hear the voice of God and his direction for our life. But how many times do we do that and it seems overwhelming to us? It seems scary to us. It seems intimidating to us, right?
Absolutely.
And then we don't do what we heard. And I think there will come a point where God will say, well, okay, Jay, I've told you this multiple times, and no, I'm not going to show you how I'm going to do it, because I'm God, you're not. I'm just asking you to believe in me, have faith in me, know these are my promises,
right.
Stand on them.
Yes.
I want you to stand on them.
Right.
I want you to approach me boldly on my promises.
Absolutely.
But then let me do the work so that I'm glorified and you're not. And that's where we get in trouble. See, we all want the glory. We all want the pats on the back. We all want, you know, to be seen as something larger than life, right, and everything else. And so part of that process is in humility. And part of that process is bringing us to that place, like we said in the very beginning. You know, we got to learn to be quiet, be still, even shut up, yeah, right? I'm trying to quit saying shut up because I think it offends some people that isn't ready for that shake yet. But
I offend people by saying stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I say garbage a lot.
And so then, why are you so stupid? Then, yeah,
and people think I'm insulting them, and I'm not. I'm insulting the idea. Of what some people think religion and servitude is.
Right.
You know, so then I have to explain myself. No, I'm not saying you're garbage. I'm saying that this idea and this way of thinking is garbage. And sadly, you know, there's a lot of people, good people, who want to love God and serve God and are trying with all of their might to love and serve God, but they've never really been taught.
They never had, right.
Because there's a lot of people trying to do it in the flesh, which was the second sermon, trying to do it in their flesh. Yeah. And I pulled that into this sermon at the beginning, and I asked, you know, what do we learn? And I'll ask you, what do we learn starting out in church?
Well, you
and I both grew up in church.
Right.
So how does our learning process start?
Well, it starts in elementary school. I mean, you learn the basics.
Like Sunday school.
Yeah, like Sunday school.
Like,
yeah.
What are the basics?
Well, Jesus loves me. This I know. Yeah.
David and Goliath, Moses,
Noah,
yeah, and so on, right? We learn those things.
Yeah,
Scripture tells us.
Abraham.
Scripture tells us to get off the milk at some point,
right,
and get onto the meat, right? It also tells us that the things written aforetime, right, all of these marvelous happenings in Scripture,
yes,
were written for our learning,
right?
Okay,
yeah.
If they're written for our learning, then that means we're supposed to do something with it.
Yes.
We're supposed to take it and go somewhere with it. I can tell you the story of Moses all day long. Tell you the story all day long of Peter walking on the water. I can tell you all day long about Noah and that whole process. And we can talk about those things again and again and again. And what happens, and we see the culmination of it in the New Testament, is we don't see the teaching in the New Testament covering those stories or those happenings, right, as I like to call them. What happens is they have now taken and applied the fruits of those moments in Scripture,
right,
and are living it. They're living it. They're walking in faith, and they're seeing the powerful things of God because they are.
And see, that is where I was getting ready to say, it's one thing to know it, but it's something else to apply it.
Yes.
You know, I remember my dad, he got stung by a bee one time. I remember this. And when I got there, I mean, they were having trouble keeping him going because he was allergic.
Allergic to him.
Yeah, allergic to him. And he's okay now with that. But God, you know, I was doing a lot of evangelistic work, and I was seeing miraculous healings take place, mm-hmm, and God just doing some really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, and here's what, you know, you and I are like 30 years in this thing. And
am I that old?
No.
Really?
I don't think you're that old. No, but I mean, we have been doing it a long time,
a long time. 30
but,
years.
But, you know, one thing that we have understood here is that we have to have His power.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I opened the ambulance door. They were getting ready to take Dad, and I opened the ambulance door because I thought I could save him.
Mm.
Because I had been going out and praying for people and seeing God heal and deliver and all this kind of thing, and I thought I could do that.
So you were doing you.
I was doing me.
Yeah.
And so what you have to be careful of, and this is what I learned, is that it's not us.
Mm-mm.
And it is not us. And it will never be us. And so Christy and I, we lost our first child.
Mm.
And she carried it 6 months, and it died in her womb. And it was horrible. I mean, just a horrible, you just don't know where to go.
Sure.
Well, what happens is you're out seeing miracles take place, and you're seeing God heal, and you're seeing I mean, some really cool things that God did,
right,
and that God does. But your own child is not going to live unless God does something. Unless God does something. And so, after we lost our baby, I sat for 2 years in church. I didn't preach. I didn't do anything. I sat for 2 years in church and healed and grew. And here's what I said to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want to use me in healing ministry, show me how this works. And I had to ask forgiveness for my arrogance, for my cockiness, thinking, who am I to think that God needs me? He doesn't. So I hope that applies.
No, it absolutely, absolutely does. And you know, the important thing for us is when we relent, when we relent of the flesh, and we choose to walk in the Spirit, and, you know, and everyone will talk to you, and then sometimes I think we get on this, you know, it's not religion, it's relationship thing, but we never really explain that. And so I think a lot of people who really don't have a lot of scriptural depth really struggle with that idea of relationship. And that's why I think this you know, Still Small Voice series is so important, especially today, because we need to be hearing from God, and we need to see God work and move. We need to see the promises empowered in people's lives. And you know, he tells us very plainly, he's the same God back in Moses's day. Sorry, I got... He's the same God back in Moses's day as he is in Jesus's day, as he is right now.
Yes.
He's never changed. And so if we're not seeing these big, powerful moves of God, the problem's not him.
No.
Right? The problem isn't him. And I shared this with the church as part of the message. And, you know, we all talk about Hebrews 12, you know, and seeing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know, let us do the work that God has given. But here's what Paul precedes that scripture with. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about all the heroes of the faith and all of the things that they've done, and all of the great testimonies of what they've done. And then he sums it up like this at the end, starting in verse 30, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued... Listen, right? This is what I wanted to get to. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. We're losing our minds in this country over politics right now. God tells us right here in Hebrews chapter 11 that if we want to subdue... If we want to subdue this carnal power that I don't care which side you're on and everything else, if we want to subdue the power of this kingdom that is turning to levels and degrees to which we don't believe in or want or see, right here, it's promised. It's promised. We have the power to subdue kingdoms, to work righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. What Paul says to us right there,
wow,
in those verses, should literally shake us in our boots. It should absolutely grab hold of our spiritual hearts and drive us into the hands of God.
That is so good.
If he does all of that with those, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
Then it is up to us to stand on his promises, stand on his power, and to allow him to do these types of great works in our life.
Well, let me give you something here, since you're on that, and I agree totally what you're saying. Over in John chapter 14, and you take verse 11, you know, you were talking about through faith. See, you know, Jay, the spirit of darkness is always working.
Sure it is.
And the spirit of, and God's spirit is always working. And God is always moving. David Frampton told me this one time. He said that God is always moving. He said what God is waiting on is for us to move. Mm-hmm. He's waiting on us to move. Listen to this. Over in John chapter 14, verse 11, it says, believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Yes.
And
be a doer.
Yeah.
Be a doer of the word. Yes.
And then it gets even gooder.
Gooder?
Right here. Yeah.
It gets gooder.
Yeah. Here we go. He says this. He said, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father.
Yes.
And then he says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's the key. If you're out on your own, James will tell us, if we ask amiss, if we're asking on our own, you ain't gonna get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're out there trying to self-promote and all this kind of stuff, I mean, if God is in it, he is going to bless it. And there's no limitations in this verse.
Right.
And he says, and then in verse 14, he says, and ye shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it.
Mm.
He said, greater things will you do. I mean, wow. He raised the dead.
Yes.
He set the captives free.
Yeah.
He wants us to do that.
Yeah. And you think about that.
Preach.
And that subdue kingdom thing really jumped off the page at me as I was preparing for this sermon series, just because we're at such a state of chaos in this country. And when you take a step back from that, we're here because the church hasn't stepped up and been the church.
I agree.
I fully believe it. Yeah. We have pitiful prayer lives. We have pitiful devotional lives. We don't know Scripture. Right, we have a surface knowledge at best, and we're not striving to become kingdom citizens. Right,
that's good.
We're striving. We're striving to be good churchgoers.
Yes,
and God here is telling us that this whole be a doer of the word. Right, don't just hear it, be a doer of it. Make it part of your life.
Yes,
thrive in it. Live in it. Right, let it be a fire kindled inside of you. Right, that's where God wants us.
Yes,
He doesn't want just good churchgoers. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
go to church.
Sure,
if that's all you've got, go to church.
Right,
right, because you need that. But God's got a whole lot more.
Yes, He does,
and He's calling us into it. And when we choose to step into it, these promises, you know, Kathy asked us last week. And I thought it was such a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I even brought it up in my sermon Sunday. And I thought it was such a great question about claiming. What do we claim? Can we go to God and claim?
Right.
And everything else. And my response was, yes. Claim the Scripture.
Yes.
Claim the promises.
Right. Right.
I might not be able to claim a certain make and model of a car, but I can absolutely go to God and say, God, you know my need.
Right.
I need a car. Make it happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's when we start getting, you know, full of ourselves about what we want versus what we need.
Yeah.
And understanding and trusting God to supply that need.
Yeah.
And he knows it, and he'll deal with it through his son Jesus. Because and one thing that we forget is we think we're alone.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We think God's way far away.
Right.
And I've got to do awesome things to get his attention. No, you don't. If a hair fell out of your head
this morning, he
knows it.
He does.
Right? So you don't have to wow him.
Right.
He's already paying attention to you.
Yeah.
Right?
He can't love you anymore.
Right.
He loves you.
It's beyond comprehension, based upon how we live, as far as how much attention God pays to us, all of us. But the cool thing about that is God's still on his throne, and it is absolute, and he will not leave it.
No.
He will not surrender it. He will not give it up. But you know what else is cool? Jesus is still at the right hand.
Yes.
Jesus is still at the right hand. And when we stand in trial, when we stand in tribulation, when we stand in difficulty, when we stand in hurt, when we stand in sorrow, when we stand in those places, he's still standing on our behalf.
Amen.
Right? And that comes with all power.
Hallelujah.
That comes with all authority.
Right.
He holds all keys.
He does.
Right?
Yes.
And so when we talk about subduing kingdoms and bringing down walls and shutting lions' mouths and delivering the dead, and when we talk about doing all of these things, it's not through me.
No.
It's not through you. It's through the authority of Jesus Christ,
right,
who holds all of that in his hands, and he stands.
Yes.
He stands, and he says, there's John. He belongs to me, God, do a work in him. There's Jay, he belongs to me, God, do a work in him.
Right.
There's this person, there's this person, there's this person. They belong to me, do a work in him. So when we start to become doers
of the word,
Hallelujah. The power of Christ manifests itself in us and does it for us.
That is so
good.
And
the problem is we get scared and freak out because we think this is so far beyond us. Well, that's why you've got to consummate your Christianity with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because you're still trying to do it in yourself.
Right.
You're still trying to do it in your flesh.
And you know what that gets you?
Never going to work.
Never does.
Never.
And so when you read the scripture, and here's what I'm teaching myself. I'm teaching myself this.
Good. We all need that.
Yeah. I'm saying this. I'm saying, do I really believe this thing?
Mm. Mm.
I mean, do I really believe, I hold it up. Do I really believe the word of God? Well, you stop and think, Jay. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
And life is so busy to people that you ask a person, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. We've heard that, the average person prays less than 2 minutes a day. You know, and here, it's no wonder the church is in the shape that it's in, where there's no power.
Yeah.
There's no power, Jay, in the church like there needs to be.
Yes.
There's no prayer life. You know, it's like I'm going on Sunday morning and I'm going to check it off the list so that I can
exactly.
go do what I need to do.
Yeah.
And we have to quit.
I said almost
that.
Exactly that Sunday.
Did you? And I haven't listened to your sermon yet.
You haven't?
No.
Shame on you.
I'm going to. But I don't know. I'm going to have to give after I watch your sermon, I got a tithe, you know. So.
But no, that's exactly right. I mean, all that we need exists in Christ.
Yes.
You know, and we were talking about this before we went live. You know, the Bible says that he shall supply all of your need.
Yes.
And that needs Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
That needs Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and it starts in our salvation.
Right.
Continues in our spiritual journey.
Yes.
Right, consummating our Christianity with Christ, right, and then it evolves into our doing. It involves, as you just read, in our work, and all the things that we do. Our need is still Jesus. Our need doesn't move from Jesus to me or from Jesus to something else. The need is still Jesus, and when our eyes get off of that, we become like that man in the mirror. We see ourselves, we see the direction we're supposed to go.
Right.
But then because we rely on self or we rely on the flesh or we begin to be led of our heart and not our spirit, then we begin to, you know, forget who we are. And
yes.
I had someone say to me this week about that scripture out of Hebrews 11. They made the comment to me, and I'm trying to think exactly how they said it. They said, I never knew that applied to me.
Wow.
Until you said it on Sunday. I never understood that what Paul was saying is he did it for all of these. These are testimonies. It's written for your learning. So take it and do it yourself.
Absolutely. Man, that is so good. How many parts are you doing to this sermon?
Six.
There's six.
Lord willing.
And this is...
I have six outlined.
And this is five?
This is three.
Oh, three.
Well, this was five that got pushed
to three.
To three. So I'm assuming I'll start back at four this week, unless he decides to jump around again. But yeah, that's what's outlined and prepared for, and we'll just see where God takes it.
Well, when you think about where the church is and where the, and big politics right now,
crazy.
I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, like last night I watched the Republican National Convention, and man, I tell you what, there were times when people were speaking and I'm shouting. I'm like shouting,
right?
And I'm like just pouring it out to them, and just believing. And I thought, you know, this is so good.
Yeah.
This is so good, you know, and of course I'm very public, you know, on my politics. I really am. But you know, I think Jay, a lot of the things that have gone on in this world today, it's the blame of the church because we went to sleep.
Yes.
Because we were afraid to offend people.
If we think about this power.
Yes.
That Paul just outlined for us.
Yes.
That all of these things are ours.
Yes.
Not just Moses's, not just Noah's,
right.
not just, you know, Gideon's and all of these that he named. He goes on to say that all of these powers are given unto us.
Yes.
And so then he jumps into Hebrews chapter 12 and he tells us, run.
Yes.
Run your race. Do it. You've got all of this power, all of this testimony, all of this learning behind you of what God has done and what God's willing to do in you. So run, do, be a doer, do the work of God, and he'll empower you. And like that conversation I told you that I had earlier this week, today's church doesn't understand
right.
who we're supposed to be. I firmly believe that.
So there's a problem with the identity of the church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, I think we have watered it down. You know, I say we because I don't like to point fingers anywhere, right. And I'm not perfect, and myself, but as a whole, the church has watered it down.
Yes.
To the point because we've been so concerned about paying salaries and paying bills and paying off mortgages and so concerned about the business aspect of the church, which kind of goes along with what you're saying in Deuteronomy.
Right.
You know, we've been so focused and so consumed with the business side of running a church that we have totally neglected and totally walked away from the spiritual and empowering part of being a doer of God's word.
Absolutely.
And if we're not careful, we're going to lose it all.
Yes.
Because of it.
Yeah.
And I just firmly believe that we are called to a much deeper, much stronger, and much more spiritual place.
When you think about, let me give you a scripture over in Mark. Mark is a great, it's a great book, and I don't park very much in Mark like I need to.
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah, I don't spend as much time in Mark as I should.
He doesn't give you all the extras, you know.
Yeah.
Mark's just a this happened, deal with it.
Yeah.
kind of guy.
That's the way you are.
I'm sorry.
That's good though. I mean, that's just the way you are. That's why I love you. All right, here we go. In Mark chapter 16, it says this. And this goes along with, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mm-hmm. Now, that backs up what Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark and Matthew are lining up here. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And here's the thing, and these signs shall follow them that believe. It goes back to what you said. In Hebrews 11, through faith.
Yes, that power is ours.
You didn't think I was listening, did you?
I did.
Yeah, it's really good. And so what?
I saw you making notes.
I know, it's good stuff. I'll go back and read it even more. And he says here, signs shall follow. So here's the thing. As you examine your Christian life, and I'm talking about everybody that's watching, and let me just go through here and just say good morning to some people. Good morning. Nellie and Dad out in Jackson County, and Karen in Braxton County, and Danielle, good morning to you, and Lindsay Prater watching today, and Frank Miller, good to have you, Frank,
hey,
watching, and it's good to have you a part of it. And we have our new convert on there.
Amen.
One of God's say, I have
Hallelujah.
Leilani. Leilani Suttner. And I had a little bit of trouble getting that first name down.
Leilani?
Leilani, yes.
Leilani.
And she got, did you see the video?
I did.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And so it's so good having her with us. She got
so,
it, man.
So happy for you, sister.
Absolutely. Yes. And Megan said that she saw a vision in heaven while she was, after she got saved, of the angels rejoicing. Mm. And yes. Can you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, just absolutely just wear you out. So anyway, what he's saying here, in my name.
No. But talking about being a doer.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
If the angels are rejoicing.
Absolutely.
What should we be doing? We shouldn't be worrying about Bob Evans.
Right.
Right?
Trying to beat the Presbyterian.
Yeah, we should be fired up.
Yeah.
Because someone was dead
and now
is now alive. Hallelujah.
That is so good. Mm. And is that what it's all
about?
I'll
start a new sermon series.
There you go. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You should do this every morning. You should come down here.
Ooh, mornings are hard for me.
I know they are. Okay, so if signs
you
want to
do a midnight show, I'm with you. But
I can do that.
No.
I mean, I'm good because I'm an around-the-clock kind of dude. But here's what he says here. He says, in my name. It goes back up to what we were talking about.
Yep.
In my name. Shall thy cast out devils.
Mm.
In thy name shall thy speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Yes.
Now, here's a key.
It aligns with what I read in Hebrews.
Absolutely.
Which shows you that Paul learned this. Things written aforetime were written for our learning. Paul learned this.
Right.
He wasn't doing this day one,
right?
But he learned the power of God. He consummated his Christianity with the Holy Spirit and began to walk as a spiritual creature, not a carnal creature.
Absolutely.
I want to go along with that. I want to share a story. This God kind of brought it back to memory a few minutes ago, and I thought, no, I'm not going to storytell. I'm just going to focus. But he's brought it right back to me. I've seen some crazy things, right? I've seen God heal. I've went to pray with a woman because a church person asked me to, and it was an older woman who's bedfast and everything. And they warned me. They said, "Now she's a hard case." I'm like, "Oh, okay, I got this." And I walked in, and man, I thought I was in the middle of, you know, of my own poltergeist moment. I was waiting for the head to spin and everything else. It was kind of crazy. Right. But as I prayed, she just stilled.
Yes.
As I prayed, you know, the power and the presence of God just stilled her and set her up and everything. But here's the story I want to tell. We've both seen some crazy things, healings and different things like that. But one of my, I like to call them spiritual Kodak moments. One of my moments that I think really exemplifies everything that we're talking about, that it's not of our power, it's of God's power,
right?
Not being caught up in ourselves, being driven of the Holy Spirit, doing things outside of ourselves,
right?
Because of the power of God working in us. I was preaching a revival over on Route 21 in Sissonville.
It was
a relatively small church, and it was packed. We were into our second week of revival.
Oh, wow. God, you preached 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
God was moving. People were getting saved. Family members had been prayed for years were coming in. I mean, it was a real move of God.
Right.
You know, real move of God, not one of the superficial ones. But we were seeing amazing things happen all week.
Wow.
And we were about midway into the second week, and we were just going night by night. You know how it is when God moves and they continue a revival. Instead of just saying, we're going to do 2 weeks, you know, people get scared, and they're like, oh, we'll tire people out. Don't quit coming. And so we'll do it a night by night thing. It was about middle of the week, and the church was packed. I mean, it was a church that if all the pews were filled, maybe sat 70 people.
Okay.
So it was full, and so people were lining the walls of the church.
Wow.
Because the pews were full, and they were standing. The choir loft behind me was full. And it wasn't a huge choir loft, but it was full. And then they were lining the walls of the church and standing
awesome.
And leaning against that. So just to kind of create that picture for you. So I'm in the middle of preaching, and God's going down, and you know, I'm kind of out of myself, and just things are flying out of my mouth, and God's just moving and working and in ways that no outline I could have ever written and memorized could have ever compassed, right? And this drunk comes in the back of the church while I'm in the pulpit preaching. And he comes walking about, I don't know, a third of the way down the aisle. So he's about two-thirds of the way to the front of church, and you know me, I move around a lot and so forth. And so and in his drunken state, he begins to like mock me. You know, he begins to like, if I point, he points, and if I stomp my foot, he stomped his foot. I don't know if any of that happened, but whatever I did, he was mocking me. And I remember I gave it zero thought. I had no control over it. It was completely a spiritual thing. And out of my mouth flew the words, "You drunken demon of hell, God's going to deliver you today, or you'll remain in this state for the rest of your life. Do you want to be a child of God, or do you want to be a drunk? Decide today."
Wow.
Now inside, right, because you know how it is. It's almost when you're preaching, it's almost like an out-of-body experience.
Right, you can see yourself. Right? Yeah.
And everything else. Inside, I'm thinking, oh, what did I just do? How did this just happen? How am I going to get out of this? Everything else, but the power had already manifested itself in the place.
Thank
it was
you,
beyond
Jesus.
Me. Yes, and that drunk stopped, and he just went limp in his body. He didn't fall to the ground, but he just went limp in his body.
Yeah,
and he looked at me, and he goes, "I need Jesus, preacher."
Wow.
And I said, "Then come down here and get him." And he came to the altar, and he thumped that altar, literally threw himself on the altar. We hear those cliches all the time, but literally this man threw himself on the altar. John, when he hit that altar, he stunk.
Right.
Puke, pee, alcohol. I mean, it was just a conglomeration of the worst stench that you can imagine. And I remember laying my hand on him and trying to pray and having to lean away to get breaths because the stench was so bad. And that church just flooded over him. We prayed, and the power of heaven fell. I'm not joking.
Right.
Pastor Wright and I have talked about this. In the middle of that prayer,
so good.
I started smelling almost like flowers.
Wow, Jay.
And here's what I thought. As I'm in the middle of praying, I thought somebody had went and got Lysol and sprayed it, you know, wanting to help, wanting to put things in a good place. I thought somebody went and sprayed Lysol.
Wow.
This man stood up from the altar, sober as could be, 100% sober, not a slur in his speech, gone. The alcohol, the effects of the alcohol were gone.
Wow.
100%. And John, he didn't stink anymore. I mean, he didn't smell.
I believe it. I've heard
anymore.
You tell that story.
I hugged him,
I
loved him, and I kissed him on the cheek, and he smelled as good as anybody in the place.
Wow, Jay.
And so everyone started rejoicing with him. I stepped back and everything else, and I said something to the pastor. I said, "So who sprayed the Lysol or whatever? How'd you work that out?" And the pastor looked at me and was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Well, in the middle of the prayer.
Nobody."
In the middle of the prayer, I smelt like, you know, flowers or something like that. And the pastor just looked at me and he's like, "Nobody sprayed nothing."
Wow.
And so when God does something,
yeah,
you know, he didn't just save him. He didn't just say, "Oh, I'll save him. Y'all deal with the alcoholism." He didn't just say, "Y'all save him." Or he didn't just say, "Save him."
Right.
And okay, fine, I'll deal with the alcoholism too.
Right.
But y'all clean him up.
Jesus.
Right? He did it all.
Yeah.
And that's a spiritual Kodak moment for me. Because anytime I'm in a place and I see a life that's wretched, I see a light that's undone, a life that's undone, and I see a human being crumbling apart because of their sin and their decisions, I always remember that man, and I can think, if he did it for him,
he can do it.
And if he did it on the level he did it for him that night.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what happened? About 10 years ago, this night probably happened over 20 years ago. About 10 years ago, I went to a revival service to hear a speaker that I wanted to hear.
Right.
I walked in, a man, clean shaven, no beard, no mustache, no nothing, no ratty hair, came walking over to me and everything else and hugged me and said, "Preacher, I've been praying to see you forever." And I didn't recognize him. I didn't have a clue who it was. And you know how that is, you know,
because
you're up front and, you know, you don't remember everyone and everything. Right. He says, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "You kind of look familiar," because he did. I said,
"Right.
You kind of look familiar," but I said, "I'm sorry, I can't place it." He said, "I'm the drunk." He said, but now I'm alive.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I just a glory fit. Right.
Hallelujah.
There.
I don't blame you, man.
So, go ahead.
No, I think it's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. That's what it's all about. Wow, Jay. What do you say to that? That's God.
Well, and it's these promises.
Right.
You know, if he, in Hebrews 11, and maybe I'll just read it again for emphasis. Are we getting close on time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll just read it again real quick. For emphasis, because that's exactly what we're talking about, and you read things too in the same mind. But he says that all of these who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Think about that. That's a wild creature.
And you have the power to stop
them. The power of God stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again.
Wow.
These aren't just stories.
No.
These are happenings, and these are things written for our learning, because the same power rests in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And is promised unto us.
That is so
good. If we choose to be doers of the word.
Well, in Hebrews 11, the first verse, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
That's what faith is.
Yeah.
Faith is, you know, it's like, I mean, do you think that David knew it, man. He knew he was going to kill Goliath that day.
Yeah.
And we need that know-so salvation,
mm-hmm.
you know, to know.
Yeah.
That God has your back and that God's going to take care of you. So the question is what are you going through today? Mm-hmm. What are you going through that you need help in finding Jesus? And, you know, it may be an addiction. It may be some kind of struggle that you're going through. You know, God can free you. God can free you of this.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he wants us free. Mm. He wants us free. Just like that alcoholic.
Yes.
You know, he's no longer an alcoholic.
No.
You know, people say that.
Still serving.
Yeah.
That's the awesome part of it.
And see, here's what I don't understand. That's another thing. You know, it's like, well, it's like once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. No, when Jesus frees you, you're free.
Free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, you know, God can do that. So let's pray, Jay, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
If you have a prayer need, let me tell you something. You could reach out to Jay on Messenger. You could reach out to me on Messenger. And we can pray for you. Mm. You know, we do a prayer at 8 o'clock every evening, and we take people to the throne of God. And so we're encouraging you to let us know, because prayer is an important part.
Yeah.
So if you could tell people that are watching today, Jay, or going to be watching all over the country and the world later on today, what do you tell them that brings them back to Jesus?
Well, I think it's all about listening.
Yeah.
You know, don't think of yourself to be something,
right.
You know, when you're nothing.
Right.
Because we gain our identity in Christ.
Yes.
You know, in the flesh, we're nothing.
Right.
But we gain identity, we gain power, we gain promise in Christ. So as we seek to hear him,
yes,
we have to choose to move from carnal, from flesh,
yes,
to spirit, so that we can hear him in his place.
Yes.
And then do what he says.
Jesus.
Step out on faith, do what he says. I don't think Peter ever dreamed that he'd walk on water. You know, I don't think, you know, in flesh, Daniel never dreamed he'd live in that den of lions.
No.
You know, in the flesh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even said, if he chooses not to spare us, I'm still going to bow.
Right.
I mean, they were absolute in their faith.
Right.
God may not do this, but I'm not going to bow either.
Didn't even smell like smoke when they got out.
Didn't even smell like smoke when they got out. They danced.
Yes.
They danced with Jesus.
Yes.
You want to dance with Jesus, you got to get in the
fourth
fire.
Man walking.
I've said that 100 times. But you know, but yeah, I think if we're going to bring that together,
yeah,
we have to understand that we're called for more. You know, we're invited into the presence of God.
That's good.
Not just to sit back, but we're invited into his presence to worship him, right? Which goes along with the shut up,
oh, yeah,
understanding who he is.
Right.
But we're also invited into his presence to be empowered,
right,
in this life.
Yes.
And Satan will do everything to mess with your mind,
yeah,
and mess with your heart and get you off track.
Yes.
But never forget who sits on the throne, and never forget who stands for you.
Hallelujah.
At the right hand side.
Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. You want to pray?
Yes. Father, we are privileged.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are privileged to call on your name this morning.
Thank you, God.
So and we are thankful for the promises.
Hallelujah.
My, what promises we have. God, people who've been in church for years say to me this week, they didn't understand this was for us. What promises you have given us. What hope you have stirred in our heart, and what power you have bestowed upon us. And God, we know that your word that we've shared this morning promises blessing.
Yes.
But we know that that blessing can be withdrawn, Lord, if we choose not to
thank
be
you,
doers
Jesus,
of all that you've given and all that you've promised.
Hallelujah.
So God, we pray that while we go to work and God, while we tend to our families, and God, while we do the things that being a good steward and a good student of Christ would call us to do, that God, you would still walk with us and empower us. That God, you would still bring us to the right decisions. God, you would still bring us to the right places, that we would walk in steadfastness for you.
Thank
and
you,
God,
Jesus,
we pray because you promised it. We pray for the blessing, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because
right,
you promised it.
Hallelujah.
And God, we want to see you work in this life as you did in Scripture. And
Jesus,
God, as all of those who listen, wherever they may be today, right this moment, or days or weeks from now as it's out there, God, we just pray that they take away from this the hope and the promise and the power that is promised to those who find themselves in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, that we choose to be still and know,
yes,
that you're God.
Jesus.
And we choose to pursue you in a spiritual way, not a fleshly way, not a way that you know, platforms us, but a way that, Lord, glorifies you and lifts up your name. And God, moreover, we pray that you do the works of Scripture in our life so that you can set the captives free.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we pray for those held in bondage this morning. God, we pray for those facing divorce this morning. We pray for those addicted and struggling with a carnal power that's over their life that they can't break. God, we pray for those dealing, you know, with the addiction of pornography and the curse that it has brought into their heart and into their mind. God, we pray this morning for those who simply just want to hear from heaven and want to love you and want to serve you, but they've been kicked and put down so long that, God, they're having trouble finding you today. We know that you haven't missed them. We know that you haven't overlooked them. We know that if a hair fell off my head, you saw it. But we also know that if a hair fell off their head, you saw it. And so, God, we ask you to move upon them, move in their situation, change their life, and let it be a testimony for your glory. We ask all of these things according to the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, brother.
God is good.
God is good. Hallelujah. If you would like to give to this ministry, there's three different ways that you can do that. It's on the screen. And we thank you so much for watching and be a part of the Pulse WV Live all the way in Taze Valley, West Virginia. Jay, wonderful man.
God is good.
I wouldn't want to
be glorified.
I wouldn't want to do ministry with anybody but you, buddy.
I love you,
We're
buddy.
Having a good time.
Appreciate
love you too.
You.
Hey, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Good night.